You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Chris Williams, Lucille's with us here on ESPN 97.5. And this is, I mean, when you talk about doing stuff for the city, dude has been, how many meals?
Let's ask Chris. Chris says, I met Chris for the first time at Booze Can, when we could be in public. And I had a great chance to talk to Chris and a variety of chefs, including Don Burrell. And he was there. And, you know, I know he's an accomplished chef and got to find out about his background. And then to see what he's been doing in the city of Houston for so many people is something that it's one of the reasons I'm proud of the city of Houston and especially the food community. And Chris joins us right now. He is the chef over at Lucille's, which is terrific food. We got reservations for next week, Chris, so we'll see you in there. But I want you to talk about what you're doing with Lucille's 1913, because it's something very special to you, not just what you're doing, but also the nexus of your restaurant is something that's very important to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I appreciate the introduction. Yeah, so with 1913, what we've been doing since the start of the pandemic is we've been trying to take care of our elderly who have been uniquely affected by the risk of this virus by taking hot meals deliberately curated for their palates directly to them every day. And so to date, we've donated over 190,000 meals. And then with this winter storm that just came through, we doubled down our efforts, and we've been taking care of the community as a whole. And these drops are, you know, it's more than just the mills, you know, than just the mill. Now we're providing fresh water in a partnership with Highway Baca, and also groceries in partnership with HEB, so it's a little bit more of a long lasting impact.
So I'm looking at Good Morning America right now. You were on there with Robin Roberts. You were on national television talking about how much you're giving back. Which is bigger, this show or Good Morning America for you? Okay.
Well, we like to live in the now. So yeah, that's right. Today, that's this right. Show is so much bigger.
this really, really, that was the right answer there, by the way, Chris. Congratulations. Chris Williams, man, but given all of this, I mean, you guys are nonstop giving this away. What about the business model on this thing?
By the way, you still have to run a restaurant.
Yeah, right. How much of a hit is this for you guys?
Well, I mean, so with the start of the pandemic, we knew that profitability wasn't going to be a thing for us. It was all about holding on and trying to make it through this. So we've kind of been a nonprofit since the start of it. And what's great is that we just, you know, we have a really good team. So I'm able to focus on the efforts that we're doing over here at 1913. And the team that's been over at Lucille's on average for at least 4 years are taking care of the ship. But like you said, like it's a new world for us, and we don't know anything about fundraising and all that kind of stuff. And we're just really fortunate that business has been doing well enough over at Lucille's to really fund these efforts up until just recently.
You know, I one of the things that I think is really cool, and I found interesting talking to you about, we were talking about this in February, once again, right before the pandemic, and then the social justice issues that came up. And you're an African-American chef, and I want to talk about everything that's transpired since we had our conversation in February, because, A, I'd also had a lot of drinks in. But besides that, you know, I think this is an interesting pathway that you've gone on, because since then there has been a big movement towards Black-owned businesses, Black-owned restaurants. You're in a space and in a business that's already tough enough as a chef with the margins and things like that. But then that industry has been uniquely injured because of the pandemic. But then you also, I mean, there's so many things, Chris, that you're trying to help the community. Maybe you've got a different level of purpose there. The social justice that came up, you had President Biden and George Floyd's family came to your restaurant when he was in town. With them. Can you talk about how your life has changed and how maybe your perspective has changed from February of 2020 to February of 2021?
Yeah, well, I mean, my personal life has changed significantly. It's like my tolerance for Jameson has gone up a lot. As far as my perspective on business, is concerned, and just the community at whole. And I keep telling, on a whole, people that the lesson of 2020, and it continues to this day, continues to show itself to this day, is that an investment in the community is an investment in you. That's in, you know, be it your personal space, your house, to your business. And it just keeps showing itself. And so as soon as the pandemic started, we started working. The first investment was to my staff to let them know that nobody will be furloughed. We're keeping 100% of the people on. We're going to figure out a way to put them on a salary to where they get on average exactly what they were getting up until the world changed. We were able to do that. And in the process of doing that, we fed thousands of people. The community found out about it, and they used us essentially as a conduit to put their good intentions through us and trusted us to know that we go out and follow through with it. So that's how we've been able to sustain and do what we've been doing throughout all this. And you know, that even, you know, extends itself to the bar pop-up programs that we're still doing, because, you know, bars, restaurants have it hard, but bars have been just played with. You know what I mean? Hey, open up, close, open up, close. Mm-hmm. And so we've launched that patio pop-up program to where we have bars from here to Galveston come take over our patio, take over our cocktail menu, and they take 100% of their sales from what they do that day.
Wow.
And to date, it's like, 49,000 that went directly into their pockets.
Wow.
You either choose to do something
or you don't.
For your community, or you don't.
Yeah.
And Chris, and that's what I respect. That's why I wanted to get him on the radio, because what you've done, you know, a lot of people do stuff for attention, but these are things that matter to people. And you've got something coming up now that's going to really matter as well out in Fort Bend County, which is where I grew up. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we actually just did it. It was the 4,000.
Oh, that's right,
drop.
The 24th.
Yeah, it was 4,000 mil drop that we just did, and that, you know, we got some great partners. Again, Highway Vodka came through, HEB came through, and we were able to deliver, what was it, 4,000 mils, 4,000 liters of fresh water, 7 pallets of fresh groceries to have that sustained impact. And it's the exact same thing that we're about to do tomorrow in CUNY Homes, which is 2 blocks away from where I live. And I know how they suffered throughout the winter storm, because much like me, we just got power back on Sunday and water back on Sunday. This is what we're kind of setting ourselves up to do.
If you want to find out more, go to the website, Lucille's1913.org. It's named after
LucillesHouston.com too.
Yeah. Or LucillesHouston.com. The restaurant's named after, I believe, your great-grandmother, who actually had, you know, she's got quite a history as well. Yeah. A lot of different fans of her cooking and her food.
So I'm looking at your food, and it's unbelievable. I'm a big bone-in pork chop fan. I love fried chicken, but this smothered steak.
Shrimp.
What order should I get these in?
Just go in and look at the top of the menu and just work your way down.
So it's like, these are like your kids. You can't pick one over the other. What are you most proud of on the menu?
I mean, to be honest, the thing that I'm most proud of is the thing that's been on there since we opened up, which are those, you know, the hot rolls and the chili biscuits, which are the nation's first. She came up with this recipe over 100 years ago and, like, really led the charge for, like, convenient cooking for home cooks. We do the original recipe, and this is the one that Pillsbury borrowed and built their empire off of. But the fact that those are still our best sellers is just a real testament to her brilliance as a chef.
Wow.
Pillsbury.
So that's a must when you
hold on. Word chef. It's the one Pillsbury borrowed?
Yeah, borrowed, Jack stole, you know.
So you got to get those when you come. I got one more question for you before you go, Chris. Chris from the chef at Lucille's. You got a virtual cooking school series. Let me ask you a question. If you've got somebody,
here we go,
whose brisket has been referred to trash ass dry brisket.
This is such
is there crap. Any way that you can help this? Is that a lost cause, do you think? Or is there any
Chris,
way
my
shape
food
or-
is delicious. They keep running with this false narrative nonstop.
Okay.
And it's just
he's
and
the
it's
Josh
late, it's
a- if you're referred to as the Josh Rosen of brisket.
This is ridiculous.
Okay. Do you think that you can possibly help this person, Chris, or is it a lost cause?
Let's talk about how we make our shrimp and grits.
So for one, I thought that you were talking about my brisket.
No, it's Lance's. No, it's Lance's.
But two, yeah, I know exactly what to do for him. After this call, I'll send you a list of places you can go purchase brisket done by professionals so you don't have to put yourself through that.
Well, that's always good, too.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good ones here in the Houston area, too.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we would much rather have somebody else's than Lance's.
You asked a question.
I'd much rather have somebody else's than mine.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you the advice that I give to myself. Just go find somebody who can do it good.
There is a more important question, because, Chris...
As long as it doesn't involve me.
You're an expert in what you do. Lance considers himself a pit master.
Yeah.
Does Lance, when you feed Lance, does Lance ask you?
No, I'm going in for the first time next Thursday.
Oh, so you'll
get the questions in.
So, okay, be prepared, Chris, because Lance will start to ask you what you do and talk about what he does as if he's on the same level as you.
I was at Fluff Bake Bar as a guest chef one time, so I am kind of a chef, Del.
It would be as if, Chris, you approached Lance and gave a breakdowns of of the draft prospects and said, hey,
Chris,
Lance, this is what I think
about
of guys.
The draft, we can do that. I respect other people's opinions, Del.
Yeah, you love other people's opinions on your mock draft comments.
Well, that's different. That's when they're being hateful like you guys. Chris, I work with a bunch of haters. Don't even worry about
it. Okay, so I'm just hoping.
Need
somebody
to do good things in the community.
That can
and
save
these haters.
Lance and his trash-ass
some
dry brisket.
Some of us are providers in the community, and some of us are not.
Okay.
It's me and Chris.
It's Chris and then us three.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, congratulations on all the stuff that you're doing, man. It is awesome what you're doing for this city. That is just great. LucillesHouston.com. Get to the website. You can see it all. You can see this piece on GMA, and you can see it just looks awesome.
Support the restaurant and support the organization. They're two different things, but they both require a lot of work. So as other Houstonians, go show your appreciation and make sure that you support him as well. Thanks, Chris. We really appreciate you joining us, man.
All right.
Hey, I appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chris Williams from Lucille's right here on ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know if you've heard, but football's not over. So caller 8 at 713-780-3776 wants a pair of tickets to the State Fair Classic Spring Game at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. See one of the fiercest rivalries in SWAC football history as the Prairie View Panthers take on the Grambling Tigers Saturday, March 13th. Sorry, it's been changed. March 13th in the Dallas Cotton Bowl Stadium. And for the HBCU fans, enjoy a live halftime concert featuring R&B group Drew Hill. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. So call our 713-780-3776. Get to watch some spring football between Prairie View and Grambling.
There you go.
I'd go if it was Joe to see. Drew
Hill. You don't want to see Cisco?
I don't want to see Cisco. No. I'd rather watch a game. I'm curious how I think the weather, it'd be pretty incredible. A chance to go to some of the spring football games and sit out in some of the weather that's out here in a open-air football stadium. It's going to be a pretty good opportunity, not this one notwithstanding, but because where is it being played?
The Cotton Bowl.
Oh, so it is open-air.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'll be really nice.
Not at Jerry's World.
Not at Jerry's World. The Cotton Bowl. Yeah, open-air studio, open-air stadiums, spring football, yeah. Houston.
You've watched a football game at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Not for.
It's not going to be as
Texas,
crowded.
Oklahoma, no.
I've seen LSU, Texas there, and it's the seats, man. Back
well,
in the day.
Now's the time to go.
Yeah, right. This event won't be nearly as crowded as
now's.
That.
Now's
not,
the time
nothing
to
again,
go.
But it's not. It's just
well, it's also pandemic. There's a limited amount.
Yeah,
of people.
But it's not going to draw what that draws anyway. I mean,
no, but anywhere you go, you're going to have space.
Yeah,
I don't care where you are. You're like, hey, got a lot of space here.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. So Keith wants, he's been waiting. Let's get Keith in here. He waited through the entire Chris Williams interview. So let's get him in here. He wants to talk about his Rockets. What do you say, Keith?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I wanted to say before I get to the Rockets that I used to listen to you guys all the time on 610. but I never called the show, and it wasn't until you came here that I did. But I've always appreciated your work.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
This whole Rockets deal, it bugs me because I don't feel we're getting the entire story about it. Because, as you know, it wasn't just the two stars who left. Now, there was an article, and this is what I'm sure you guys saw it, but I didn't get to hear your comment on it. It came out last November. You can still see it. Liz Rocher, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, on Yahoo Sports. And the article said that, this is what her words were, there was a revolt among the players because Tillman Fertitta donated to Donald Trump. And she claimed that that's the reason that Harden and Westbrook wanted out. And so is this article valid? Is that true? And also, you know, with D'Antoni not coming back, and then, you know, there was Daryl saying that, oh, he wanted to step down to spend time with his family. Well, turns out that wasn't exactly true, was it? Did that have anything to do with it? What do you know about this? Can you give me any insight?
Well, I do know this, that when James was walking out the door, James said, I want to come back here and finish my career here. So if in fact you're so soft, listen, what was the story like of all the Major League Baseball and NBA, NFL, like 90% of them donated to the Republican Party.
From the owner's standpoint?
But from the owners. So if that's the case, then listen, if you're so soft that you want, that's not why. James Harden wanted to go and win.
Yeah.
James Harden wasn't going to win here.
I think he even apologized by having to do by any means.
There was zero to do.
He said, I wish I wouldn't have handled it. James felt like he had to do whatever he had to do. I think that was a leak to try to create.
If you don't know that your owner is a Republican, and simply because of economics, because it's economically better for rich people to have a Republican in office, then you know what? I don't care. Then leave. You know what? If that's the reason that you want because of who he voted for, then you're soft. Then by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if most of these guys who maybe started out Democrats didn't turn Republican because of their money.
I think we talked about it when it came out to answer Keith's question, and I think maybe we didn't talk about this specific aspect of it. For whatever reason, there are reasons for it, clearly. Trump goes beyond just being a Republican for people.
Yeah.
It is not a simple, well, he's a Republican, so you donated to the Republican Party, so you're out. I don't know if that story is true, but for people that it does resonate with, it's not as simple as, oh, all these owners gave money to Republicans. I think it's a Trump thing for some people. I don't know if James or Westbrook cared that much. It felt like once the season got closer, it was like, this team's not going to be good. I don't want to be here.
We've heard them talk about everything. Not one of them mentioned Trump.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't necessarily buy into that narrative, but for non-basketball people, I don't think it's about a Republican thing. I think Trump supersedes that. But I think this was about, this team ain't going to be good. It's not working. Get me out of here.
And this is also this goes to Bob McNair and the day after President Obama was elected and how disappointed he was. It wasn't about it for Bob McNair. It was that a Democrat was in office, that a black man was in office. That a Democrat was in office, but yet it took on a racist view because it was a black man.
Yeah, but to your point, I don't think that had. I think that article was way overstated. I think it was an easy potential out that they were floating out there. Like,
so
James knew he wanted out. Let's use this.
Yeah,
that wasn't going to matter. Let's use other means. And James apologized. Sorry,
but
I just wanted to get out of there.
He has never said. I mean, he did long interview with what's her name from ESPN, and
never brought
never,
it
never. It was never.
Look, what it
everything was brought up except no one ever said
Keith's
anything about
Trump. He said, "Is there something going on with the Rockets?" Here's what I think. I think it's twofold. My guess is James knows he can't win here. Yeah. Russell Westbrook didn't like playing with James, even though they're friends. That's real simple. The Daryl one could be a little trickier. I think Daryl was a combination. I think probably working for Tillman, I think Morey could have taken
that. I would imagine it wears on.
That's got to wear on you a little bit. And Daryl also ran this to the end of its course. And yeah. Daryl knew, well, this is it. So now I got a team
that's
going to take a lot of work.
Working for Tillman or, wow, this really is not a good –
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I can't even guess.
But listen,
my guess is a little of both.
As much as if Daryl's going to throw it, I didn't want to work for Tillman anymore, you can also go, Daryl, this is a dumpster fire, what you've got here. What you've turned this into is a dumpster fire. No draft picks, the oldest roster in the league, players who hate each other, can't get over the top. Now it's in where you were at the apex was the Western Conference Finals that you were up two games and you or a game one game away from going to the NBA Finals and you couldn't get that done to where you can't compete anymore to where you've got no money and you've got no ability. You're not winning anything here. So if I'm Daryl, this is a good time to get out.
Yeah, that's the all-in approach. The Rockets went all-in, and when you go all-in, you go all-in. The phrase all-in means you don't have any chips left. The Rockets, that's the definition of what they did. They went all-in. They had no chips. And so when Daryl just basically said, okay, congratulations, good luck, guys, and just left the table. That's what he did. He left the table. And Tillman was that guy who talks a lot at the table like, man, I want to knock this guy out of the table or leave. And I think it's probably a little of both. I don't think Tillman's necessarily easy to work for, but Daryl also pushed all the chips in, and he had no chips left.
Mm-hmm.
So if your question, Keith, it sounds like, is Tillman the problem? I mean, James, just the Trump thing was used as an excuse. Like you said, I haven't heard it even come up one time with those guys, and I haven't heard it with any other players and any other owners. I think it's James has even told you. He knew he couldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he couldn't win here,
right.
And he wanted a chance to win before his career is over. I don't blame him. The problem is he's partially responsible because of his actions and reactions and what the team had to do to placate him for being in this position.
He's responsible, but
to an extent.
Daryl Morey could tell James no. And did he ever tell James no?
It doesn't feel like it.
No, never, never. No, the answer is never. And you know what? He just wanted out.
Yeah, it was done here.
And if you're so soft that because of who somebody voted for, then that you want to leave, then get out. Leave. Then go. You know what? 929 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number. Lance, how about a little jab here? How about take a little jab here?
Well, like my friends over at SiteJab. They will punch up your website, and it's really simple. All you have to do is go to SiteJab.com, and you can get your company a very, very quick meeting with SiteJab so that they can start working on your website. If your site is trash, and we've seen plenty of them, the first thing that people who come to your site are going to think is that you don't have it together and you're not with it and you are not someone who is building a company that they can trust with their business. And if that happens, that's a problem. You might have the best business in the world. You might have the best business model and do some of the best work. Does your website spotlight it? Does it show it? Do you have embedded professional videos? Do you have e-commerce available on your site? Do you have a site that looks up to date and it is up to date and that catches people's attention and shows people who you are? If not, then you're letting potential business leads go down the drain. Let SiteJab punch up your site and get your site where it needs to be so that you can turn those eyes into business leads. Small and medium-sized businesses around Houston have been going to SiteJab for over two decades, 23 years in the business right here in Houston. Take advantage of a Houston-owned company that does great work with SiteJab.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He's back. I'm watching Jose Altuve slap a single up the middle off Blake Taylor. Man, he's back. totally back. I know it's a single up the middle off Blake Taylor in February, but I still can get excited.
It's good. Yeah, it's a good sign.
Right?
That's a good sign.
So, I mean, now, can he throw to first base? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's something. You know when you usually ask questions like that about your second baseman?
Mm-hmm.
In Little League at about age 8. We think we got a second baseman here. You know, the dads who get really into it as coaches. Look, mm-hmm. we got great first, third, our short, our third. We're worried about our Timmy, our second baseman. You know, we got to see if he can throw it to first. I think that's the big concern is, can Timmy throw it to first?
That's Yuli. Look at him.
Man, Yuli looks lean.
He's really lean. Muscled up. Looks like he's lost a lot of weight.
Great. Bregman is jacked.
He shed 15 pounds.
Kyle is jacked. He lost that?
Yeah, he lost 15. Bregman put on 25, 27. Tucker put on 80.
These yo-yo, man, these guys are really in great shape.
Yeah. No. Listen, Bregman's going to put it on, and then who was the running back put on all the way? And then said, oh, man. Oh, Steve Slayton. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Steve Slayton?
He said it made him too slow.
Yeah, he was smaller. He had a really good year.
Yep.
His rookie year, or I don't know which year it was, but he had a really good year, and then he came back, so I'm going to get bigger. And
it's always the biggest mistake to get bigger.
Right. Well, and we'll see if it's Bregman's mistake and Tucker's mistake, because they got bigger. There's no question.
Yeah, you got to get twitchier.
Yeah.
Quicker, well, faster, but, more I mean, explosive.
Well, Barry Bonds says, really, do you, Lance?
Well, he had some twitch already.
Yeah. He had plenty of twitch.
He was born with it.
So does Bregman. Bregman's got plenty of twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe bigger, stronger works for him.
Bregman wasn't happy with his season. I mean, his postseason was bad.
Right.
His postseason was really bad. He needed to do something, and he felt like he needed to do something, and he did it, and we'll see if he's more confident. Hopefully.
Yuli, that's good, because Yuli's got that big, long swing with a lot of motion inside of it. It's not very quiet. So he can't really afford for his bat speed to diminish. He needs to keep that bat speed going, because he's got that long swing. One of the best ways to do that is lose weight, get a little lighter in your upper body as well, a little more flexibility. That's always an advantage. You know, I had Donald Hollis tell me one time. Do you remember Donald Hollis?
Yeah, quarterback Rice and then
Raiders. Yeah. Threw the 6 or 7 interceptions in that game.
Why you got to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's
very negative.
He said he told Gruden, said you should. Gruden was yelling. He goes, "Leave me in. Let me get the record." And that didn't go over well.
Then he went and coached St. Thomas High School.
Did he?
Yeah, he was a good
guy. Yeah, I knew Hollis from when he went to Lamar Consolidated. But he was a good college quarterback, had some time in the pros. He told me that their trainer was a guy who came over from the Chicago Cubs, and he was a guy who worked with Greg Maddux and some other Cubs pitchers. Was it the Cubs or the – I think, yeah, it was the Cubs. And he came over to the Raiders. And one of the first things he had – Donald was a big dude. Like, he was jacked up. He's like 220-something. And the trainer made him get down into the teens, like 215, because he said it would – and stop lifting heavy weights because it added flexibility and did a lot of stretching, and he picked up a lot of velocity as a passer. Like, he threw the ball with more zip when he actually lost weight as a quarterback. And that's just because of the bulkiness up top. Bregman knows his swing. I'm not worried about Bregman. I am curious to see what happens with Tucker, because we all know Tucker needed to get bigger. At least he looked like he needed to get bigger and stronger. But man, from the very brief picture, and maybe it's one of those tricky James Harden running on the hill, looks like he's emaciated, but then you see him in the bubble and he looks same.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's one of those tricky video things, but Kyle Tucker looks a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Like rocked up.
And yeah, well, he was so skinny. I mean, he's becoming a man now, too. You know, I mean,
he could be growing into his
friend. Yeah. Other Eric is here. He wants to talk about, I guess he wants to talk about the winter freeze. What's up, Other Eric?
Hey, guys. Real quick, I haven't heard it mentioned on the show yet since y'all came back, but I was kind of wondering, has anybody discussed the $9,000 gritty bill for 2 weeks? And are they still an advertiser? And real quick, the woman that got that $9,000 bill for 2 weeks is suing them. But from a capitalistic viewpoint, if you get a variable rate electric plan, don't those people that are getting those humongous bills, they signed up for that? I mean, what are they going to sue? That's not my signature. No, I'll hang up and listen.
That's not what it is. The suing is for price gouging, and what they're going to find is it's not Gritty. Or if they do find it, if they found that Gritty did that, they'll win a lawsuit. What they're going to find is, I think Gritty is going to end up suing or doing something with PUCT or ERCOT. It's a little complicated because I used Gritty, and I've saved over like $1,200 since February. When I started doing it, February of 19 is when I started. And I've saved a ton of money. And I've been extremely happy with my bills other than 1 4-day period in August of 2019. And that was famous because that was when we had an outrageous amount of the heat was ridiculous. And we had this outrageous spike in electric usage. And I think one of the generators or two of the generators went down. And so, there's a huge spike. Okay. Well, everyone took their lumps. Well, this time Gritty's shown people how to, and it hasn't been a problem since then until this big winter freeze is coming. They sent an email to their people saying, get out because ERCOT's about to hit us with this, this, and this. So they actually gave us links to go, and I switched.
Did you get hit at all?
I switched. I got hit for one day, like $56 for the day.
Oh.
Which is, it's a lot. I mean, it's more than, it's usually like 13.
No, but as much as you saved.
Like a dollar.
As much as you saved over the time.
Oh, yeah. No, but other people who didn't.
But that's the problem with this.
If you didn't lose electricity. But no, the problem is it runs deeper. They say that there is price fixing going on. That's what I'm saying. This Gritty thing is going to be interesting because they're saying that there's price fixing going on way above them that they pass along to customers. And they're trying to get full refunds for their customers. So I'm interested to see what happened. The lady that got the big bill lives in a huge house, and I, from what I understand, never lost power. Well, if you lost power, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's good. But yeah, if you're with, and they're not the only company. If you use variable pricing, when it spikes, you pay a spike. But this is different. This is like $9.99 per kilowatt. Do you know right now? Let me tell you what the Gritty price is right now because I have the app. I'll bet you it's the same thing. Hold on, let me exit out of here. Okay, so it is 1.8 kilowatt cent per hour. This is the first time I've seen it positive. Every other time that they've had it for the last, since Monday, it's been negative. Like, it's been a refund the entire time. They have so much energy right now that it's been in the negative, where the more energy you used, you made money.
Huh?
In a weird, exactly. It was minus 2 kilowatt cents per hour, so you would have gotten like $1.10 rebate for using energy, $2 rebate for using energy. This whole thing has been really eye-opening to learn how this works in Texas, and that's why with deregulation you have those opportunities. But what happens is this ERCOT thing and PUCT, with their ability to set prices, it caused a spike that is going to change how this is done. Either Gritty's going to get crushed, or in any of the other ones. And by the way, energy companies, you know, they buy and sell energy in advance based on their statistical models. And then they set a rate for you based on that. And then they have to, like, I would think energy companies got pummeled too, depending on how much energy they purchased.
Yeah. All I know is, yeah, Gritty's catching it and ERCOT's catching it. There's a class action lawsuit against ERCOT that's going to be a lot.
Hey, John, who do you speak for?
I speak for Champion.
And
you know what happened?
Have any problems?
No. Champion Energy. You know what happened? Champion was just like, whatever.
What? Yeah, all these
variables? You're still saving. You're still low.
Champion sent me an email. You know all those variable price things you're hearing about? Yeah. Not with us. We're good.
You're locked in.
Yeah, exactly.
On a low price. You know who lost on that? Champion.
They did
lose on that. But know what? They didn't pass that on to us.
Charges to us. No, they did not. John, you asked Lance a question about how Deshaun Watson could affect the draft. How could the availability of Russell Wilson affect the draft? The Athletic has a big story about with all the stuff going on in Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, this has got a little. It's got a little meat.
Does have some meat. If you listen, there's some smoke over there. They're actually talking to people. So we'll do that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, what about Craig DeSerf?
Craig DeSerf, let me tell you about Buick. The Buick Enclave. How about the Buick Enclave is one of the nicest crossover vehicles that you can possibly find. If you go to LandZCars.com, you can check it out for yourself. And I mean, not just the way it handles. The interior looks fantastic. It's got great pricing structure. It handles like a dream. And when you deal with Buick vehicles, they've got some of the best programs that you're going to find on the Buick side. And I'll give you an example of that. If you go right now to LandZCars.com, you can see some of the amazing Buick vehicles that they have in their inventory and some of the offers that they've got. Right now, the Buick Encore SUV is something you can get a huge discount on. And when I say huge discount, how does $2,798 dealer discount and a $2,750 purchase allowance sound? Final price, Buick Encore. Well, this is for the Encore. Preferred SUV, $20,412 for the Buick Encore. They have some of the biggest discounts on already a low-priced vehicle for you with Buick. This is one of the best vehicles that you can purchase first-time car drivers. For example, my kids, they're headed off to college. If Alex headed off, this is a great vehicle for him. It's affordable for me, and I know that it's got safety features and interior features that he's going to love and I'm going to love. Make sure that you go to LandZCars.com. You can handle the car buying experience online if you want, or head down to Angleton and get the great country prices and the great service at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, there are two hearings. Speaking of all of that, two hearings kick off in minutes, searching for answers as to why you were left in the cold and dark. Lawmakers had a chance to make fixes a decade ago, but came up short. This time they pledge it'll be different. That's from Ted Oberg over at Channel 13. Apparently, they are looking into this entire ERCOT matter. At least five of their on their board who don't even live in Texas have resigned, and they were making anywhere from $87,000 to $100,000 a year just being on the board of ERCOT.
Losers.
And they don't even live in Texas. They had no. It was no effect whatsoever on them.
It's free money.
It's just
for them.
Well, that happens sometimes, though, in businesses.
I want to be on a board.
Yeah, I don't want to be on a board, too.
I want to be on a board.
I got a buddy that's on a lot of boards. He's on boards, and he just makes all kinds of money. They just pay him.
I can really help a lot of you guys out there who have different boards, different businesses.
You have to be really good in business to get on for people to want you to be on their board. Well, you have no business acumen.
Actually,
you mean you're trying to sell your brisket online?
No. Idea person. I'm an idea person. I'm great for a board. I don't have to do stuff.
Forget about the barbecue thing, because that's something we'll always go back to.
That's just play.
He just told you you have no business acumen.
None.
That's a little disrespectful.
No. Insulted him a little
to his face.
He was disrespectful?
Just you were.
Oh, I was.
You just looked at him and go, you don't have any business acumen.
Well, I mean, not really. What? Name it.
I created and sold Pigskin Sports.
So boards, they want people who are CEOs of, major companies and make, millions of dollars. Let me ask you a question. Can you give me a roundabout number of what Pigskin Sports sold for?
$40,000? Yeah.
Is that $40,000?
Yeah.
Okay. You sold Pigskin Sports. So you sold all of the people that were members. You sold their names and... kind of like Facebook does.
Well, just the concept.
It was
a brand.
It was a brand?
I sold a brand. Yeah.
You sold a brand for $40,000. Do you think that's like a big business thing?
It's relative.
Yeah, no, it is relative.
Let me ask you a question. If a 10-year-old kid bench presses 200, is that a lot?
Yeah.
Same.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You're like a 10-year-old kid.
I started that business.
Small business.
I started that business in literally with one phone line in the kitchen of an apartment, and I turned that into a radio show, and I turned
How
that into...
How many years did you do it? 8 years?
Yeah.
So that's an average of $5,000 a year that you made on that business?
Oh, no, I weighed maybe more.
No,
than
no, no. I know that. But I mean, as far as when you sold it, it's
your average. Oh, we don't look at that. I had a tremendous amount of debt, so I actually made a. No, I had no debt. I had no overhead.
Yeah, no,
except the phone line. But listen, these are the things that I bring to the table. If you have a board.
Okay, see, so you did this because
I know
of
different
this.
People.
How did I do it? You insulted the
people.
Man.
I know I've got the ability to help connect dots for you. I'm a dot connector. Social media, I can help you with that. I'm watching. I watched a show called Fake Famous. Mm-hmm. Kind of fizzled out, but did you watch it, Dell?
No.
HBO Max. It's this guy who used to defend social media. He's now like, yeah, it's actually, what was I doing? He would go on different TV shows and defend it. And so he showed how you can become fake famous. Like, he took three people and wanted to make them fake famous. And he showed how you could buy bots to like your stuff, buy bots to comment. One guy who claimed he wanted to bailed out. He got too nervous because somebody goes, what's with all your Russian bots now that they're following you? Why are you posting all the time? Another guy just decided he was too real for this. But the one girl who did it, she started getting free. They started showing how you can take pictures in a kiddie pool with rose petals all over it, and you lay down and they take pictures. It basically showed how fake influencers mm-hmm. are, and how once you, even if you buy your people, Kim Kardashian has bought a ton of them. Even if you buy these fake followers, as long as you have that number, the businesses will send you, like, here's a vacation, here's this. She started getting, after 3 months, clothes, vacations, jewelry. They were sending her stuff left and right. She was a struggling actress in L.A., and they gave her a different haircut. They gave her a look. They were taking all these pictures of her. They rented a mansion for $600 for the for like 2 hours, and they rented something that looks like a jet where you could take pictures in what looks like a jet. They say it costs $49 to rent it for the hour, and people in L.A. rent it nonstop to make it look like they're in jets. And it just shows what a bunch of fake people on Instagram.
Yeah.
Have people lead these fake lives.
You know that meme where Zach Galifianakis has all these numbers flying around his head? He's trying to figure something out.
Yep.
While he was talking, I'm trying to figure out how do we get from your lack of business acumen to this story? I don't think I've solved the equation yet.
You haven't?
No.
All those numbers are going around your head?
And I don't think I've solved it yet. We were supposed to talk about how Russell Wilson's availability affect the draft. Because apparently him and the Seahawks are on the outs.
You let this thing swerve out of control. This is what
did
happens.
I? Is my fault?
No. Yeah, because you said, no.
Well, you did.
You insulted him a little
bit. You kind of did.
Yeah. You got a little out of line yourself.
You're the one who sent me off the tracks.
Yeah
that's on you, actually.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Just say it's on me, just like
you should have come back and said, okay, guys, what about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
You took your shot at him, and I thought, let's explore it, and okay. I was wrong.
So, Russell Wilson, this is real. This is real that usually when there's some smoke, I mean, I don't know. Maybe some guys, they want clickbait and, Russell Wilson, what would Russell Wilson go for? You know, but there might be
That's
something to this in
steam.
Seattle.
Why don't you tell people about what the latest is, Dell? Because it's like three different writers, including Mike Sando, who is a highly respected writer. They've got a story on how things are going with Russell in the front office.
Yeah, apparently the Athletic, that story you're referencing, in the story, I guess the meat of it is Russell Wilson didn't appreciate the lack of, you know, the not attention, but the lack of consideration for his thoughts. The Seahawks are struggling. John's talking about Russell Wilson struggling in the back half of the season. Apparently he had a 4-turnover game. And then he followed
up. Apparently he did.
I don't remember. That's what I'm saying, apparently. So it happened. Then he had a 3-turnover game, and then it kind of spooked Pete Carroll in terms of keeping the offense open, allowing Russ to cook. And Russ was like, I've got ideas on how to fix the offense. And the Seahawks brass like, nah, we don't care what you have to say. And whatever you're saying, that's wrong. And that kind of sent him sideways. And now the Seahawks are legitimately thinking about dealing him and looking for teams that would fit what they would want in return.
It's a Deshaun thing. He wants to be.
Yeah.
Look, teams are not going to just say, especially when. Well, you do need to have your quarterback in mind. You do. He's different than the other players. That's just the truth. And the Texans really screwed this up because they didn't even play the game with Deshaun at all. I'm not saying you have to turn everything over to Deshaun. You never want to do that to a player or give a player that much control. We saw what Jordan would have done to the Bulls. But you got to at least play the game and keep him in mind because he is going to be the face of your franchise and you want him to be happy and engaged with the process. They screwed that up. But now you got Russell Wilson who says he wants some of the same things. And maybe they're just, you know, there's been a weird dynamic in Seattle with defense and off. Some of the defensive guys were openly kind of anti-Russell Wilson early on. And it seems weird because maybe you think Russell's too goody-two-shoes and all this and that. But it's one thing when you're really good, you can say whatever you want to say. When you start to struggle, people don't like hearing from you a lot. And Russell struggled the second half.
Well, here's what was said. Russell Wilson stormed out of a meeting with coaches after his ideas for fixing the offense were dismissed prior to their Thursday night game versus Arizona. Pete Prisco says this: Russell Wilson plays better when he plays faster and more wide open. Why the Seahawks can't see this is amazing. It's easy to play the run it and defense style when your defense is tops in the league. It's not that anymore. Wilson should be angry. There is something to that. The Seahawks' pass defense sucked. It was bad. And so do you have to play more up-tempo? Do you have to use Russell Wilson as opposed to the way that the Seahawks play?
I don't know.
Maybe he's onto something here. And since he is the guy, the only reason the Seahawks are still in any way, shape, or form that they're valid is because of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is not basic. He's their best player. It's not even arguable. He has kept this thing together. He has kept them valid through times when they're not good. They're not the Legion of Boom anymore. Mm-mm. They're not even close to that. No. They're bad defensively. So, I mean, we were talking about player empowerment, but when you're the quarterback of a football team.
I don't think if this is all true the way it's said, what in the world is the problem with hearing what your quarterback has to say about how you can fix some things offensively? What in the world? You just got rid of your offensive coordinator. So something was an issue.
Yeah.
You just got rid of your offensive coordinator. What in the world would hurt with listening to your quarterback?
I mean, and listen, I've lived this personally. JT went up to his coaches in college and said, hey, you know, how about this or this or this? And they said, we don't care what you think. We're the coaches, okay? Now, in college, I guess I get that. But if you don't you want to hear from the guy that is actually, you know, on the field or that getting ideas from somewhere else is awesome. Russell Wilson is one of the best players in the NFL. And if you won't even listen to what
possible this information that we're getting the story exactly how it went down. How is that even possible?
I don't even see how it's possible.
I don't see how it's even possible.
Unless you lost respect for him in the second half of the season because of how he was playing.
It's awfully quick to just guy's been balling out for a while and you just
don't want the input of the guy that is pulling the trigger on all this
and has been the face of your franchise for a while.
Yeah.
And a Super Bowl, you know, a Super Bowl winner and competitor two times. That's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like there's got to be something else here.
Yeah. What else is there to say to Lance, Del?
Bye, bitch.
Bye. See you, bitch.
Whoa.
See, how does it feel?
I mean, I'm fine with it. Do you have a problem with it? Whoa. I mean,
whoa,
it's understandable.
Get y'all triggered with this Everton.
He put his Everton
get
scarf on.
Get you triggered with this Everton
nah,
scarf.
Nah, I'm good. I just think it's understandable that you get called.
Bye, bitch.
With that dumbass scarf on, with your underachieving ass team.
Everton.
It'd be like.
Oh, who's six, Del?
I don't. Yeah, exactly.
Not Fulham.
It'd be like if some a person born in London was repping Miss State and talking about how great Miss State is. This is what he is.
They were going that flag. The Washington State flag. That, yeah. Running around.
Bringing that around, talking about how great their team was in Washington.
Every game day. You mean that one, the Washington State flag in every game?
That's
right?
About that.
Everton and Mississippi State, Washington State, Mississippi State. Those aren't bad.
They're not Ohio State, I've called them the Texans before, which I think has some validity.
Yeah.
No, but the Texans actually make the playoffs.
Everton's in the FA Cup.
Well, you get... Let me tell you this, John. That reference he just made. As long as you play soccer in England, you're in the FA Cup. He can't. That's not an accomplishment.
Oh, it's an accomplishment.
No, it isn't.
All right, 10 o'clock.
Beat it, Lance.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.